I want to be able to hear you guys when we're praising and worshiping. So in the very near future, be ready to let your voice ring out. Be ready to come to battle. Be ready to cry out with a ruha. Let's try that. Everybody say, ruha! There we go.
Here's number one. Here's the first thing that I think that will transform in your life and change in your life is praise and worship transforms your enjoyment of church. Okay. All right. Now, let me explain. What it does is it stops being a duty and becomes a delight. You stop thinking that church is this thing you got to do, and it becomes a thing, man, I get to participate. This is when you get to participate. In praise and in worship. And rather than coming in here and watching someone with their hands up, eyes closed, crying, having an encounter with God, and looking at them and observing them do it, you get to do it. You get to have a personal encounter on Sunday morning with God Almighty. How are you responding to the author of the universe? I mean this, if He's God, Creator, if He is, then if He's in our hearts, and if He's in our minds, and if He's in our spirits, then shouldn't there be some external physical evidence of it? Praise Him, worship Him. Today what we're going to be talking about is this. We praise what we most prize. You can't help it. We all do it. We all will praise what we most prize in life. It doesn't matter. We are all that way. We talk about it. We glorify it. Whatever we prize, we glorify. We talk about it a lot. We invest into it. Whatever that we prize, we invest our money. We invest our time into it. Whatever we, like the kingdom, you get excited about it because you prize it. And your voice elevates. You get excited. And every single one of us do that. We've all experienced something that we prized, bringing forth praise, because praise always comes from what you prize. Now, it's like a child at Christmas time. A child at Christmas time, we've got these two little guys and two little bigger guys, and at Christmas, they are running, they are excited, they are ripping paper, they are so excited because they're getting all of these prizes in this form of presents, and they get turned on. It's like a sports fan. I remember back in 1995 when the Braves won the World Series. We were sitting in my living room, Judy, Lance, and I, and we had cheered and pulled the Braves all year long. You know, we were proud of our Braves. There they were playing in the World Series, seventh game. They were winning. Two outs. Ball goes up in the outfield. Otis Nixon's out there. No, he's going to catch it. We're ready. Yeah. Skip Carey. Braves win. Braves win. We are up, jumping. All up. Judy's jumping. I'm jumping. We're giving high fives, hugging each other. Like we did something, you know? But we praise what we prize. It's like some of you are real music freaks and fanatics. You love music. And so when your favorite group or band or whatever is playing somewhere, you get excited when they start. Back in the 70s, Judy was an Elvis fan. She loved Elvis. Not as much as her sister, but she liked him, and she went to several. And I got to take her to an Atlanta concert. And I just want you to watch this. Watch this little video for me. time that 2001 A Space Odyssey movie starts, you are whipped into a frenzy. I mean, little kids crying, women screaming and wanting a scarf, a kiss. I mean, it's wild. You know where I'm going with this, right? He had his mojo working, Terry. That's what he had his mojo working. And so we need to get our mojo working when it comes to praise. Come on, right? And we need to be like that kid at Christmas time. It's so excited because they're getting to praise what they prize. We need to be like that sports fan. We need to be like those people at the concerts. Do you think if we do praise what we prize, and if we prize God, should we not do in here on Sunday what we do out there all other times? Should we or should we not? All right. Now, I want you to do this. I really want you to praise God. And today what I want to look at is why. What benefit is there in all of this for me? See, if I'm right in that we praise what we prize, then we should enjoy coming in here. We should be so excited when that countdown comes on that we're about to have a time with the Creator of the universe. The King, the real King, not just Elvis, but the King of Kings, right? So there we go. So David spoke about this in Psalm 63. If you got your Bibles, then turn there. We're going to stay there pretty much one verse out of Psalm 63. But if you got them, that'll be good. And let me set the stage for us so we'll all know what's happening here. David is going through a very bad time in life. And it's not for David's first bad time in life. David's had 100 bad times in life. But this particular one was different. David had a lot of sons, but he had one son named Absalom. Absalom was a GQ guy. He had long hair. He had these flat, you know, washboard abs, and he was this beautiful guy. And he had a following. He had developed his own army, and he was now coming to overthrow his father David and take David's throne and kill David. That was his plan. He was marching on David. And David, uniquely, David said, "You're not going to fight me here. We're not going to do this here. I'm going to pick at least where we fight." You know? "I'm not going to fight you in Jerusalem. I'm not going to fight you where all these people are involved and everybody sees it." And we need to learn something from that. We need to, if we can't pick the fight, at least let's pick where we fight. You know what I mean? Sometimes people don't need to see us fight, right? And so David leaves. Now, David lost his home, his palace. David lost his throne. David lost everything. He lost his dignity. People were cursing him and throwing rocks at him. David was driven out of town. Driven out of town. That's pretty embarrassing. He's depressed. He's humiliated. And this is where the psalm picks up. Psalm 63. And what I want you to see is from where David came at a way low place in and through praise and through worship, where he came to. Watch now. Psalm 63, verse 1. "Oh God," you ever felt like saying, "Oh God"? "Oh God, you are my God." Now, there's your prize. You're my prize. And even in this bad time, you're still what I prize. "Oh God, you are my God. I seek you." What are you saying? I need you now. "Where are you? My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water." I'm drying. I'm dying here. So, David says, here's what I do. When I get like that, here's what I do. "So, I have looked upon you," where? "In the sanctuary, beholding." I've looked and I'm beholding your power and your glory in the sanctuary. David says, "I'm down, I'm beaten down, I'm discouraged, I'm humiliated, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the sanctuary." I was thinking about that. What does that mean? I think every single one of us that attend here at LifeGate Church, if we were to look back, behold Him as what God's done right in this room, in your life, not just once, but every week, somehow God touches you. It may be in praise and worship. It may be here praying with the people. It may be from the word that's brought. But every week, right here in this sanctuary, in this room, God touches you. And if you look back at that, it starts something inside of you happening. And maybe it wasn't you. Maybe it was your spouse, or maybe it was your child. Maybe they got healed or delivered or came to Jesus Christ. If not somebody that you know, you look around and you see somebody somewhere on any Sunday gets touched. And over all of these years, every single Sunday, God moves right here. And when I start thinking about that, something inside of me happens. And if you start thinking about that, you know, something inside of you begins to happen. And you start thinking, you know what? Maybe it's not so bad. You know, maybe things are going to be okay. But what I was wondering is, why did David do that? Why did David think back on the sanctuary? Why? Well, he tells us in the next verse. Verse 3 says this. What's the first word? Because. Why are you thinking about the sanctuary, David? Because your steadfast love is better than. I need you to say that back to me, better than. Better than. Say it louder. Better than life. David says here, if I can't have your love, I'll just die. You're such a prize to me. Your love is better than life. My lips will praise you. Now, he's down here, remember, and so now he starts thinking about the sanctuary, and he starts thinking about God's steadfast love, and then he says, my lips will praise you. I don't think David specifically felt like praising God, tell you the truth. I don't think he was in a praising mood. But as he began to think about what God had already done in his life in the past, the sanctuary, and he began to think about God's love for him, David says, you know what? My lips are just going to praise you. I'm going through a tough time, but I'm going to praise you. And then he says the steadfast love. Now, we need to understand that. Other translations use different wording. As loving kindness is what the King James Version uses, and unfailing love is what the New Living Translation uses. But what it means is an unmovable love. It's steadfast. It's there. It's there. You can have it any time you want to, through any experience. No matter what you're going through, God still loves you. And David says, no matter what life has thrown at me, your love is better than that. Your love is more powerful than that. Your love is stronger than anything about life. Your love is better than life. And David had been through so much. David says, I know you love me, and no matter what I get myself into or what situation I find myself in, I know your love is better than that situation. David did this, and he learned long ago to praise God, and that if he would praise God, then no matter what situation he was in, he came out on top. And we did that long study on David, just a long, long study, and we saw all the things he faced, but one thing we always saw about David is he always came out on top. He came out on top when the lion and the bear attacked his flock. He came out on top. He killed him. He came out on top with Goliath. Did he not? He came out on top. Saul's supposed to be his friend. Saul, the king, supposed to be his friend. And Saul's throwing javelins at him. He still came out on top. He came out on top in the wilderness fighting the Philistines. Always, David came out on top. You know, I was thinking about it. Even in his first marriage that wasn't so good, he still came out on top. And then when he sinned with Bathsheba, he still came out on top. It worked for him then. Even in sin, God still loved him when he sinned. And then when he married Bathsheba, they had that baby, and that baby died. And David was smitten with grief and sadness. He still came out on top. Solomon. He always came out on top. When David was sick, David still came out well and healthy, because God received his praise. God loved David. David says, I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to come out on top. He always did. Every single situation. David learned. When David lips praised God, and he remembered the sanctuary, and he thought about God's steadfast love, and he began to move into praise, David whipped the situation. God showed up. God helped David, and David always came out on top when he would praise. So I'm asking you, what giant are you facing? what lion and bear is messing with your flock? Anybody throwing javelins at you? Any child giving you a hard time? Maybe you've sinned. Maybe you're going through a bad time, grief, sad. Maybe you're sick. I want to ask you, what are your lips doing? What are your lips doing? Are they griping or prizing? Are you pitiful or are you praising? What are your lips doing? David says, my lips are going to praise you. I'm thinking about your steadfast love. I'm thinking about you loving me, and you are going to deliver me from this situation just like you delivered me from the lion and the bear. Your steadfast love is better than Absalom. Your steadfast love is better than anything. And as much as I praise God and love God, I had to ask myself that question. Is God top on my priority of prize? Do I prize God more than I prize life? Do you? Is His loving kindness for you, His steadfast love, is it better to you than anything else? I watch people come to church here, and I watch them smitten by the love of God. They may weep, they may laugh, but one thing for sure is they're excited about God because God, they feel God's love, sometimes for the very first time. And they want to get back to church so they can sing, or they can enter into prayer, or they can hear the word of God again, but they are having this encounter with God. And then they start hitting the bumps in the road. They start hitting the potholes of life. And I watch them, instead of praise, gripe. I watch them begin to complain, and I watch them pine away from God because something didn't work out the way they thought it should work out. And they start losing faith in God. And instead of getting to God, they slip back from God, and life goes downhill. David is saying here, listen, when you need a boost in life, what you want to do is think about the sanctuary. What you want to do is, my lips will praise God. And what you want to do is draw to God and let His steadfast love boost you, not the world bust you. People get busted simply because they get back and away from God and not learn how to praise God. David says, I get a booster shot. It's bringing me up. No matter what life has brought to me, His steadfast love is better than that. Psalm 63 verse 4 says this, so I will bless you. I will bless you. My mouth's working. My lips are working. So I will bless you as long as I live. Now watch. I will what? I will lift up my hands and do what? Call on your name. Please leave it up just a second because I don't want you to miss the association. Lips blessing, hands lifting is calling on the Lord. Calling on the name. David says, that's what I do. In praise and in worship, you begin to call on the Lord. Your hands go into action and your lips go into action. And I know this hands thing, this raising your hands is a stretch for some of you. I know there's different personalities, extroverted people, introverted people. But you really need to work on this for your benefit. And I know you have a difficult time even seeing yourself ever doing this. But you really need to work on it. Let me tell you my story. Back in 1978, when I came to the Lord, and I'm an extroverted person, but still, I was a Methodist. I was a Methodist boy. And the church we went to, they didn't clap. They definitely didn't do this. And so it was a strange environment for me. But I learned to love God and began to prize God. And as I began to prize God, I learned that I could praise God. And I got into this pretty quick, you know, and I could do some of this. But doing this, I still couldn't. And I would look around and somebody would have their hands up, tears streaming. They were having a meeting with God right there in the sanctuary. And they were having an encounter. And I said, you know what? I want to do that. And as I praise God more, and as I prize God more, and as my lips and my voice begin to go up, my hands begin to go up, and I begin right here. It's okay. Because the more you prize Him, the more you praise Him. And you need to work on that because it's a calling of the Lord. And there's something about this that fulfills you, that satisfies you. There's something about getting your mouth praising God and your hands praising God that brings a satisfaction to your soul that nothing else will ever bring. You're really missing something wonderful if you don't work on that. And that's exactly what David says. My mouth's working. I'm thinking about His steadfast love. My hands are praising Him. Now watch what he says in verse 5. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast. Let's stop right there. Now remember from where he came, way down here, bad time. He was thirsty. He was weary. He was famished. He was in a famine time of life. Now where is he? Where is he now? What's he having now? A feast. Not just a feast, a rich feast. I'm talking lobster tails. I'm talking filet mignon. I'm talking rosemary salmon and tenderloin, beef tenderloin and salads and desserts and anything you want to drink. This is a rich feast. He's gone from way down to up simply by getting his mouth praising and his hands praising and thinking about God's steadfast love is better than anything, more powerful than anything. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. He wasn't so happy in verse 1. I think of you on my bed. And Terry was saying something, you know, like in the car. God shows up sometimes in the most unlikely places. But when you start thinking about it, He says, I'm thinking about you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. It's a wonderful thing. You know, you've been through something. It's been a tough time. And you're just laying there in bed and you're on the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, God shows you how He's helped you and He's been there for you. And you just say, praise you, Lord. And your hands just go laying there flat on your back. And David says, this is a rich feast. And I think how he says it is the best way I've ever heard it said. He says, you give my soul a rich feast. A rich feast. You get so full on the things of the Lord. I mean, you get full. Your cup starts to run over. You've eaten the junk food of the world all week long. When you come here, I'm telling you, every week there is a table prepared for you. The praise team has prepared. They practice on Wednesday night preparing a table for you on Sunday. These people that come down here and pray for you, they're prepared to pray for you. I have prepared weeks ahead. I am prepared to come and bring you something from the Lord. God has a table prepared for you, which is what Psalms 23 says. Psalms 23:5 says, you prepared a table before me in the what? In the presence of mine enemies. What does that mean? In the middle of what I'm going through, in the midst of all this stuff, in the midst of Absalom, in the midst of anything that life has thrown at me, there's still a table ready for me. And I can belly up. I can get all I want. You prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anointed my head with oil. When does this anointing happen? You get anointed in praise and worship. My cup overflows. I'm full of you. Surely, goodness, things are going to be okay. No matter what you're going through, when you realize the steadfast love of God, the sanctuary, you're praising Him, something happens and you say, I'm going to be okay. Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And you know what? I'm just going to stay here. This feels so good. I just want to do this forever. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what life is throwing at you, His steadfast love is better than, stronger than. What your part is to do is to praise Him. And if you'll praise Him, it comes out of a prizing of Him, and God will move in your life and show up as help for you. You find the table of the Lord prepared just for you. Every Sunday right here. And nearly every week, just about all of us could use a little anointing in something. A little help in something. Maybe it's the kids. Maybe it's the spouse. Maybe it's the boss. Maybe it's just I'm not healthy. Maybe I'm sick. But there's something nearly every week that every single one of us could use a little help in. And then there's some weeks we come when we're like David and we need a lot of help. We're going through a really, really bad time. But no matter what you need, God is your help. And the way you call on His name is by praising Him with your lips and raising to Him your hands. And that's the next thing David says in Psalms 63, verse 7. It says, "For you have been my help." You've already been. I know you're going to take care of me this time. "You have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings..." Now look where he's at. In the shadow of your... What does this mean? Is David pretty close to God here? He didn't start close to God in verse 1. How did he get close to God? Praising Him with his lips, raising his hands, bellying up to the table that the Lord had prepared for him. And now he's in the shadow of his wings. You get the picture? He's right there under the wing of the cherubim is the thought here. Angel's wings. He's real close to God. And he says, "I'm going to cling to you." He says, my soul clings to you. I sing for joy. My soul clings. I'm holding on to you. Instead of letting the bumps and the bruises and the potholes of life knock you away from God, what David says, get a booster shot and get close to God and watch what happens. Your right hand upholds me. You got this thing under control. But. Now, let's think about this. Leave it up there. But. But. What is but in the English language? It's what? It's a conjunction. What does that mean? What does a conjunction mean? It means it's what he's about to say is directly connected with what he's just said. And what he's just said is that I am holding on to you. I have gotten myself close to you with praising you with my lips and praising you with my hands and bellying up to the table that you've got for me. I am close to you. But, now watch this. Watch the contrast here. All right, I stopped that slide there. Here's the next slide. It says this, "But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword, and they shall be prey for jackals." I'm close to God, but it's not going to work out so well for those that are after me and those that are giving me a hard time. I'm a praiser, which brings me close to God. And these people that are after me, they're not going to come out so well. And again, I've already mentioned it, but this is exactly what happened. Every single person who came against David ended up bad things happening. Every time. Every single one of them. Bad things happened. But what about Absalom? Really bad. Absalom, as I told you, he marched on Jerusalem. He took Jerusalem. David left. He took the throne and took David's palace, took David's concubines and took them up on the roof and did all sorts of crazy stuff. But David wouldn't fight him there. And so Absalom got his army and he came to find David and they connected and the battle went on and Absalom's guys were losing. So Absalom is running. And some of David's guys see Absalom running on his mule. And Absalom, as I said, has got this long hair. He's gorgeous. It's the hair that the Bible talks about so much about Absalom. And probably 100 times he's ridden this mule under trees and duck and he'd be fine. But this time, he gets that hair hung up in a tree. And his mule runs out from under him and he's hanging there with his hair. I want to just make sure I say this. Whatever's after you, God will hang it in a tree if you will praise Him. And so these guys see this happening and they come and they tell Joab. Joab is David's commander in chief. And they tell Joab, Absalom's over here hanging in the tree. Well, Joab says, "Well, why didn't you kill him?" And he said, "Well, David said not to kill him." "Well, I'll kill him." And so he goes and he, with Absalom hanging in a tree by his hair, Joab drives 3 javelins through Absalom's heart. And then 10 guys show up and chop him up with swords. He fell prey to the sword. It broke David's heart. David says, "Oh, Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, oh, Absalom." But God took care of Absalom. I want to just make sure you get it. When somebody is a praiser, when somebody draws close to God, when somebody understands God's loving kindness, don't mess with that person. You've watched it over the years. You've seen it happen. Don't fool with a person who understands God's steadfast love and praises God in the midst of the battle. Don't do it. It won't go good for you. He will hang you in a tree. Psalm 63, verse 11. But the king shall rejoice. There's another conjunction. So that whole thought there of God bringing the sword on the enemies is surrounded by conjunctions. I'm going to praise him. And then he says, but the king, speaking of himself, shall rejoice in God. Now look at this. All who swear by him. How many? All who do this. All who praise him, all who worship him, all who do this shall exalt. Now that means triumph. It worked for David 100 times. It's worked for me. It will work for you every single time. When you praise God with your lips, my lips will praise God. I will lift my hands to you. I will remember your steadfast love because your steadfast love is better than anything. I am going to come out of this thing on top. For the mouths of liars will be stopped. Somewhere in your future, you will need God badly. You will need Him to move in your life. Something will be pursuing you in your wilderness. Some lion, bear, javelin, some situation, some Absalom, something. And what you've got to do is what David did. Don't let the bump, don't let the pothole take you from God. Use your lips and your hands to cling to God. Get under the shadow of His wing. You will need that anointing. And if you will draw close to God, God will take care of your situation every single time. What David learned was to praise what he prized. Praise what he prized. And when you do, a chain reaction begins. You remember what God's done for you in the sanctuary. You remember God's steadfast love. You declare, my lips will praise you, even though you don't feel like it. You belly up to the table that He set for you. You eat of that. Your hands will go up. You'll cling to God. You know everything's going to be okay. You don't know how. You don't understand it. You just know it will. And God takes care of it. He will hang it in a tree. He will deal with it. So I want to ask you, how do you think about praise and worship? How do you think? Is it a duty or is it a delight? Do you gripe or do you prize? Do you become pitiful or do you become a praiser? I don't kiss my wife because it's a duty. I love kissing my wife. I kiss her every day. Sometimes more than once. It's not a duty. You see, I prize her. And I praise her. I don't have it as a duty. It's not a duty to me to hug my children and tell them I love them. Why? Because they're a prize. I prize them and therefore I praise them. And so what we prize, we praise. Let's pray. Father, You are my God. And there are times, Lord, that I need You so desperately. And Lord, thank You for teaching me the lesson that if I will prize You and praise You, that no matter what comes my way, any embarrassing situation, You bring me out of it. And I always end on my feet. I always come out on top. And I know it's because I prize You, and from my prizing comes my praise. Thank you, Lord. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask a couple of questions. What does your heart most prize? And sometimes, you know, it's not like sin, a sinful thing. It's just things out of order. Maybe you prize your spouse, or you prize your children, or that's what you prize most. Your job, your money. Maybe that's what you prize most. Maybe there is sin and addictions or whatever, and maybe those things are what you prize, and that's why you're dry and weary right now. But what is it that you prize most? Because what I really want you to see is that the reason that God needs to be the priority is because no matter what situation you get into, your spouse is not better than. Your children are not better than. Your job is not better than. Your money is not better than. See, it's God's loving kindness that is better than anything. It's God's loving kindness that will get you through anything you face in life. What do you most prize? And I don't think that any of us here don't prize God. I think the thing is that we need to prize God more. So that's sort of where I want to bring you today. How many of you along with me would say, you know what, that's what I need to do. I need to bring God up on my prize list. I need to have him a little higher. And I need to praise him more because I prize him more. And as I prize him more, I will praise him more. So if that's you along with me, would you raise your hand right where you're sitting and say, yeah, I want to prize him more so I can praise him more. If that's you, raise your hand. I see hands all over the place. Yes. Father, we do. We want to prize you, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit more. We want to learn the lesson that when things get tough and life is chasing us, that if we will praise you with our lips and praise you with our hands and prize you and realize that your steadfast love is better than anything that's after us, that you'll take care of it. You'll hang it in a tree and you'll bring us out on top every single time. That's why we praise you. That's why we sing. Now, with your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, some of you are in a dry and a weary place right now. I mean, it's tough. You're drying up. You don't feel God. You're like David. Oh, God, my God, where are you? I need you. I seek you. I'm thirsty for you. I need you. Where are you? The reason is that it's dry and weary is you're not praising God. You need to praise God. And some of you are just far from God. You came in here today not having a relationship, and you're far from God. And what you need to do, maybe you've never received him as your Lord and your Savior, but you just know you're not where you need to be with God. And so it's going to be dry and weary for you. Life is going to be full of potholes, and every time you're just going to get dry and weary, and life's going to be a bust. So if that's you, you're just dry and weary. Or maybe you just need to do what David said, cling to God. You want to fix that. Maybe that's you. So if you just know you're not where you need to be with the Lord right now, you're dry and you're weary, would you, right where you're sitting, right where you're sitting, would you raise your hand, just let me pray for you? I see a hand here. Any others? I see a hand over here. Any others? I see a hand here. Any others? Amen. Father,